Tonight, Lord willing, we want to finish out the last two verses of this lesson. Hopefully you picked up a meeting schedule on a piece of paper back there by the donation box. It tells, because December is going to be a hit and miss month. And did you put my sizes on there for them? No. Every month I try to, what's that? After thank good, I am. What can I say? All right, let's open with prayer. Lord, thank you for our fellowship together. We thank you that we can candidly share with one another, that we can be like the Bereans and test everything with Scripture. We do care about the truth because only the truth can set someone free. And so even tonight, we're here to study and to learn about the truths of the things of Christ, but also to learn how to think critically, how to use the text, the Word of God, and this language to separate truth from error. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we will see what we have here. Hopefully tonight we'll be in our next to the last section in this in Romans chapter 5. But from Romans 3, verse 21, all the way through Romans chapter 5, we're talking about the doctrine of justification. The presentation of justification itself, the principles of justification, that it's by faith. And then chapter 5, we have studied the seven principles of the inheritance that comes from justification by faith. And then in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21, the penalty of sin contrasted and compared with the provision of the sacrifice. So this section, starting with verse 12, makes reference back to a certain presentation that Paul had been giving to them about through the death of God's Son, and in His life we will be saved, and it is through whom, that is Christ, that now we received reconciliation. So the mind of the Hebrew or Jewish person is thinking, how can one person be responsible for salvation and reconciliation for our justification? So he began his presentation, diatuto, on account of this, that is through the one man and in the one man, and through whom we received reconciliation. On this basis, on account of this, for this reason, he now in verse 12 presents to us the comparison of the entrance of sin and death. Hosper. Hos indicates to us that this is a comparison. Just as, or as indeed through one man, the sin principle, we saw that he is the definite article, and it highlights and emphasizes the word. It's not just sin in general, but the sin principle, 1 John 3:8, who is Satan. The sin entered into the world. These little prepositional phrases are very important. In fact, there was somebody, some group within the last couple of weeks that were sharing about a book that's out that's called Prepositions in Theology, and how important prepositions are to theology. Somebody might have the theology that this is the first beginning of sin. No, it's not the first beginning of sin. Sin had been in existence prior to this, but sin entered into the world at this particular point. which tells us just by the phraseology here is that sin existed prior to entering in to the world through this one man. And through the sin, the death, ho thanatos, a death in all of its forms and all of its applications, the principle of death entered in through the sin principle. And in this way, highlighting this adverb hutos, highlighting this conjunction, also used like an adverb, showing comparison, in this way, into all men, the death passed through into all men. So the comparison of sin and death, the entrance of sin and death, they both entered the same way. Upon which, that is death, all sinned. So the end result and conclusion is that all have sinned. In verse 13, we saw from off of Hamartone, this is from our blue letter Bible, Hamartone, in the previous verse, all sinned. Remember, we're in dealing with a language that focuses on verbs. We're going from verb to verb. And we go from verb to verb through conjunctions. A conjunction does just that. It forms a junction between a connecting point between two words. If a sentence does not have a verb in it, then the verb is implied. Some grammarians will put the implied verb in parentheses and keep it in the diagram so that the verbs will stay all connected. We don't do that because if the writer doesn't use them, and it's implied from the last verb that we've just studied, then we keep that in the text and learn it that way rather than add to what he has already done. We stay with the style that was in vogue back then. So in verse 13, verse 12, we had the comparison of the entrance of sin and death. In verse 13, we have this explanation of the using a comparison of the existence of sin and death with Gar, showing that this is now an explanation of what he just said about the entrance of sin. Until law, there's your temporal, showing time frame, sin was, and we said that verse 13 was the existence, and we have ain, which was an imperfect tense showing continuous action, or in this instance, continuous existence in the past. We also have down at the bottom, aontos, which is a present participle, also showing existence of something. Well, for until the law, sin was in the world. And again, en kosmo shows location. Sin existed in the world until the law. And sin is not imputed, there being no law. Nomu should come under ontos here in a final slide. There it is. You like the way I just kind of get back over there. You see what I do at home? I got all week long. I play with prepositions, move them around. But sin existed in the world, and no law existed in the world at the same time. Therefore, sin was not imputed to people's accounts because of the law. So the law caused, well, we'll get to that next. From Ain in verse 13, now in verse 14, we have the contrast of the establishment of sin and death. The contrast of the establishment of sin and death. We've had the entrance. We've had the existence. This is the establishment. And by establishment, we mean that the verb, ebasilusen, means to rule as a king. It comes from the noun that means to be a king. And so sin entered the world through one man. Sin existed in the world even before the law, but ruled holthanatos, the death. Death ruled, so now death is established. And again, notice it's the principle of death, holthanatos, from Adam until Moses. So we have a time frame that he's focusing on from the time of Adam, Genesis chapter 3, until Moses, that is until Moses and the law, Exodus chapter 20, that death ruled. Even though there is no law, death still ruled. We have the conjunction coming. This will be a complementary or emphasis conjunction. Here's how it plays out from Basileusin. Three prepositional phrases, from Adam until Moses. And then thirdly, upon also the ones not having sinned. Notice that's an aorist participle. Upon or at the same of the likeness of the transgression or trespass of Adam. He's not saying that people did not sin. Nobody repeats the same transgression and sin that Adam sinned. His sin, through his sin, sin entered into the world. And again, you read on some of the theories back then. Pelagius had a theory that everybody's born into this world not as a sinner, but when I commit the sin of Adam, I become a sinner too. That sin is not in the world or in my life or in my nature prior to me personally making the act of sin like Adam did. But that's not what the text is teaching us. That death ruled even over the ones who did not sin in the likeness of the transgression of Adam. So if Adam sinned and he died, why did he die? Because of sin. Death comes through sin, right? But everybody else who lived up till the time of Moses, they all died too. But he's going out of his way to show they did not commit the same sin, transgression, as Adam did. Because sin was already in the world. There's only one sin that brought one transgression that brought sin into the world. And so death has passed upon all, and all have sinned. So we have, obviously, Paul's going out of his way to say that even those who did not commit the same sin and transgression that Adam did, they all died too. See, death ruled even over those who did not sin like Adam did. Why? Because they're sinners too. They sinned. Then from Adam, we have this relative clause. Remember, hos is your relative pronoun. Going back to Adam, this is your antecedent line. In reference to Adam, who is a tupos, a type of the coming one. Melontos is a present participle. And this was a phrase, we brought out some scriptures to you last week, about the coming one. These different phrases that the Hebrews and Jews used for the coming promised Messiah. But tupos is where we get a word type from. And it means to strike an object so that the image, like an imprint, a stamp, you put a stamp on a seal and it makes a tupos a type of what is on the stamp. Adam is a type of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, Adam here is called the first Adam, the first man. And Christ is called the last Adam or the second Adam. who came and provided the remedy for what Adam in Genesis brought upon the human race. Just as a side note, because I've had people, and I'm sure you have too, you talk to them about the Lord, and sometimes people respond right away with, well, God's not fair. That's why I don't have anything to do with him. It's not fair. I mean, I'm born into this world. I'm born with a sin nature. And so now I'm in this mess, and he's telling me I'm a sinner, and now I need a Savior because of this sin that I was born into. I didn't choose to be this way. It was inherited from my ancestor Adam. But the point of that is, and I always use the broken arm one, you know, when people come up to me and they're like 37 years old, and they walk up like this, what happened to your arm? My dad dropped me as a kid. Really? Yeah, he did it to me. Look what he did to me, you know. And why don't you get it fixed? Oh, no, you know. I don't want to have to go around getting it fixed for what somebody else did. Uh-uh. So you walk around like this, and all you do is complain. Well, wait a minute. Because of what Adam did, God sent his son into the world to undo what he did. So what you do is, I mean, if you go into the doctor and he says, well, that arm can be perfectly well. We'll just set it and, you know, put it in a cast and you'll be fine. Don't want to go to that much trouble, you know. Why should I have to go see a doctor and pay for a doctor when my dad dropped me? You know, his fault. People always want to point where the blame is, but never rejoice and come to where the remedy is. And that's what we're faced with as a people, is that we are sinners. You can't get away from that. You can think you're not a sinner. You can try to do good. But guess what? You were born that way. Now there's a remedy for it. And I've always been impressed with the comparison between Satan in his rebellion in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 14, where he says, I will be like God. I will be like the Most High, where Satan wanted to be God. And the rebellion in the human race has always been, I am a man, but I want to be God. And it is interesting that God, in order to take care of the problem, became a man. Isn't that interesting? The human being is always trying to elevate himself up to be more than what he is. And God emptied himself of who he is to be humbled like us. But not just like us, he became a slave and became and surrendered himself even unto death, which you and I would, it would be a shameful death to have to be crucified, because that means you're a criminal. And Jesus did that for us. Our nature is always trying to be our own God and not take the humble place that we really are. We're sinners. We're broken. But that God would become a man. I'm trying to become like him. He became like me and showed me my need. Here's God being sinless, perfect. And he still lived a humbler life than I live. And he was perfect. This goes to show you how sin makes us feel like, I don't deserve this. I deserve better. I deserve more. And I think that after you read the scriptures, I think you agree with me, you get to a point where you don't want what you deserve. And that's where grace comes in. God graces us with salvation. So verse 14, now this little phrase, this relative clause here, becomes the turning point where we leave, the entrance, the existence, and the establishment of sin through Adam, now we become a comparison and contrast between sin entering through the one man and salvation entering through the one man. And he's showing that comparison. In verse 15, again, coming off from Ain, the verse 14 came off from Ain also. But now 15, and Allah is telling us that this is contrast. Contrast. And in the contrast, he uses a comparison. And it's interesting Greek. If you can pull it off, it's actually very genius of Paul, very educated man. But in contrast, not as the transgression. See, here's your comparison, hosts. Not so, or in this way. In what way? As the transgression. Also is the gift, charisma. And again, charisma. We've been through the charts on the various expressions for gift. Notice it's a definite article. And we're dealing here with the motive or cause of God bringing the remedy for our situation here on the earth. The gift of grace is not the same as the transgression, even though it is in contrast to the way sin entered, existed, and established itself. In contrast to that, the two cannot be compared. He goes on to say that, for if, opens up a conditional clause. This is always subordinate. This is always a secondary clause. If the many died by way of, date of case, the transgression of the one, and this is attributive condition showing the characteristic or attributes of Adam. It is the transgression of the one person that is notable just for him, that the many died. Much more, and that's what Polo Malone is going to show us, much more, shows your comparison, much more the grace of God and the gift. This gift is the result. This is the effect of God's gift of grace is the gift of righteousness and salvation and Christ. It's also used for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is given to us much more in grace, that is, of the one man, Jesus Christ. This in grace, which is of the one man, Jesus Christ, compared to the transgression of the one man, Adam, abounded for the many. And again, the emphasis is for the many. The many died by the transgression. These same people have offered to them, unto the many, a salvation in Jesus Christ to show the equality there. He didn't say 98% of the human race versus 50%. What you're saying is there's 48% of the human race in your presentation that didn't have a chance. The many that died, and there's many that are saved, abounded, this grace, this gift, abounded towards the many. Now we're at verse 16. I bet you thought we'd never get there. See, I told you, I'm not going to get there. Go ahead. Yes. It's feminine because it's representing charity. Charis is feminine, And te is your feminine. Well, what these definite articles that are used, instead of a relative pronoun, it uses a definite article, and it is translated in English. This would be an English translation rule, not a Greek rule. In grace which was of the one man, Jesus Christ. He used the word which. Literally, in the in Greek, it's in grace the one, the grace, that is of the one man, Jesus Christ. So you can use, in a substantive position, you can use the definite article the same way you use a relative pronoun. Okay, so that is a style. So you might want to mark that down. Good question. Yes. Well, since it's substantive, it's representing grace. Okay, the grace, genitive case. See. You can use a genitive case off of anything, off dative, accusative, anything, to show possession. In this instance, the possessor of the grace is of the one man, Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, verse 16. Now, what I've done in verse 16, and I told you last week, a good way if you want to attempt to understand a diagramming is if you can take your verse and space out all of the various segments or elements. You have a conjunction, negative particle. Here's hosts, showing your comparison again. Through one having sinned. That is a prepositional phrase. Todorima goes together. To is independent. Men, gar, krima. Exhenos, prepositional phrase. Ace, kataklima is a prepositional phrase. To de charisma. The to goes with charisma, but de is postpositive. So this definite article goes with charisma. Another prepositional phrase, ek polon paraptomaton, that's all a prepositional phrase. And then ace dikaioma. You can. What I do is I space down and put words in relationship in the diagram as I go along. You can do it this way to get prepared to make the diagram, but you can also list them, take those expressions and put them all along the side if you care to. What I have done here with verse 16, here's your connecting conjunction. Remember, aperisousen, which is abounded, was the verb in verse 15. In order for there to be a connection between aperisousen and the next verb, there has to be a conjunction. In this case, it's kai. It's given to us right off the bat. The next word after aperisousen is the word kai. We have a negative particle. We know that the negative particle always negates the action of the verb. We don't have the verb yet. Hos is going to open up a comparison clause for us. So here's three words that are just dangling out here. When the diagrams are made, really don't have any lines to them. It's just that when you come to each grammatical phrase, if you want to tell yourself, here's the conjunction, where is it going to? Not given that yet. Here's a negative particle. Where's the action that is negating? Hasn't been given that to us yet. Here is a conjunction used as a comparison. What's the clause that's using as comparison? We don't have that yet. We only have three words. Okay? So then the next phrase after hos is dihenos hamartesantos. So that is going to be the prepositional phrase that's going to come under our comparison and form our comparative phrase. And as we look at it in the text, through one hamartesantos, through having sinned one. And so as we put this together, dihenos is the prepositional phrase. Hamartesantos is modifying the one, through one who had sinned. It's not his sin that is the emphasis, but it's through one. And the one that we're emphasizing is the one who has sinned, aorist participle. Okay? So now we have a connector to our host. We know that it is what the comparison is. And you'll find your comparisons as it comes right after hosts in your Greek text. Notice what's next in line, to dorima, in the Greek text. And we find that that is a nominative case. So we're going to bring that over into our diagram. And we realize that after to dorima, we have a definite article, a particle men. We have a conjunction gar. So I'm starting a new sentence or new clause here. So I've got my subject, I've got my comparative phrase, I've got my negative, and I've got my connecting conjunction, but I don't have a verb. Now I can put a verb in there in parentheses about a verb that he might be implying. But what we have done, since there's no verb, is that you leave the verb off, and the next available phrase that all of these words apply to has to be to the subject. Not as through one man is the gift, but all Paul said was the gift, not as through the one who had sinned. So again, he's using a negative particle to denote that the gift did not come, or is not, whatever verb you want to put in there, is not as through the one who had sinned. So however sin came into the world through the one man, that's not how the gift came. And we have under dorima, here's our blue letter Bible. You can order it at the church bookstore in case you want to. And if you've been out to the church, you probably want to know where the bookstore is. Well, it's out in the tool shed to the left of the lawnmower. So we have three words coming up right after dorima. To, an article, the, men, and either this is men is going to be used as emphasis to the verb, or it's going to be used as a men de situation. You remember the men de combination? Here's your de down here. So now I know that whatever verb this is going to lead me to, it's not men would act as an intensifier to say indeed. Just on its own, some English texts use the word truly something happened. So men by itself, particle that is modifying a verb, in and of itself is going to be an emphasis to it. But when it's men de used in the same sentence, men means on the one hand, and de is translated on the other hand. Why is that important? Because that is another indicator that the writer is presenting a comparison. We can do much more for a comparison. We can do hos as for a comparison. We can also do men de, because the writer is saying on the one hand there's this, and on the other hand there's this. So he's making the comparison, you see. So he's introduced to us three different phrases, three different ways to present a comparative clause. And on top of that, he puts a contrasting conjunction at the beginning of one of them. But in contrast, these two cannot be compared. What two cannot be compared? He presents the comparison. It's really very genius. But as you wade through it all. So our next word in order is krema. Now all of these words would be in a line here as we're making our sentence. But again, we've listed them on the side. Krema now becomes our subject. Toe matches krema in gender, number, and case. The judgment, for the judgment, there is no verb. Prepositional phrase. Here is another nominative case with a de postpositive, a prepositional phrase. There are no verbs. So we went from a verb. We found our connecting conjunction. From the connecting conjunction, we're trying to find our next verb. Now, if there was a verb way down here, gar would go all the way down to the verb, and then we'd have to work our way back up, because that's what the conjunction's doing. It's bringing together both verbs. If one sentence has a verb, and the next sentence is called nominal, that means there's no verb. It has a nominative case. Nominal highlights the verse, okay? So therefore, from do-re-ma, nominal, gar brings us into another nominal. It could be verbal nominal. It can be verbal. It can be nominal, you see. So when you have the main verb in the sentence or clause, it's called verbal. That clause, if it's connected to the next clause by the conjunction, and that clause doesn't have a verb in it, it's just implied, that clause is called nominal, because nominal is the predominant emphasis in the verse. So, for the judgment, and in this case, on the one hand would be the translation. If I had no de in the sentence, men would be translated indeed. Indeed, the judgment, making emphasis. But because I do have de in the sentence, I know that men is going to say, on the one hand, the judgment. There's one part of your comparison. On one hand, the judgment. Our next phrase is a prepositional phrase, ex henos, out of one. And again, prepositional phrases come off of verbs, but we have no verb, so it comes off the subject because that is the next available element that is eligible to function and receive and give out the action. The judgment out of one, next prepositional phrase, for katakrima. See, krema is judgment, and katakrema is condemnation. Condemnation means a judgment that has been passed against someone. These are judicial terms. So, on the one hand, the judgment from out of one man for condemnation. What did I do? I went backwards. From krema, we're going to come straight down, and off from here is going to be another one that we're going to, our next verse that we're going to come to. But from krema, now comes down, we put toe off on the side, we have de is our next connecting conjunction. I'm always working off of the verbal or nominal and conjunction. Verbal, nominal, conjunction, okay? To line up my, what I call like a main street. Everything else is going to come off of this, okay? So de being postpositive, to is going to match charisma in gender, number, and case. Therefore, we have our next subject. On the other hand, the charisma, the gift, ek polon paraptomaton, too many words. Polon, being an adjective, is going to describe paraptomaton. So ek paraptomaton is your preposition and the object of your preposition. So this is how it's diagrammed. Ek is going down to paraptomaton, and polon is your adjective describing the offense. Many out of many offenses. We have another prepositional phrase that's going to come off of charisma. That's going to be eis dikaioma, for justification. So here's your comparisons. First, we said the judgment was from out of one man for condemnation. Now that's one comparison. On the other hand, the gift, meaning the cause, this gift of grace that is motivated by grace, is necessitated and comes into play from out of many transgressions. So again, he's highlighting there's one transgression that came through Adam. It's not the same one transgression that Adam committed that caused the gift to come. It's out of many transgressions, because we're all sinners. We're born into sin. From that standpoint, the gift is in comparison from out of many transgressions. That's from many people, not just one. And it's for justification. So he's using the same prepositional phrases in both of these, the judgment. On the one hand, the judgment is from out of one man for condemnation, but on the other hand, the gift is out of many offenses. That's what prompted this gift, and it's for justification. From krema, which is the first of a nominal set, and this is how we determine the next connecting conjunction. If you have krema at the top and you have charisma coming right after it, both of these are nominal. The next connecting conjunction for the next phrase, what does it come off of? There's nothing to connect it to. Well, the connection comes, krema is connected to charisma in the comparison. Therefore, krema is the lead nominal. Therefore, the next phrase will be joined off of that nominal. So this is like, on the other hand, finishing out the phrase, but this is not the emphasis. This is not the major nominal that came first. So from krema comes down, and we have verse 17. And again, you can line them up and separate them out as we have, and we usually do, coming off of krema. The first word we come across is the conjunction A. As soon as you see A, you know that it is introducing a conditional clause. It always introduces a conditional clause. It's translated if. It's translated if. And we put that to the side because we don't have our conjunction yet. We have to have a connecting conjunction. So the second word in this verse is gar. Gar's postpositive, but it's the connecting conjunction. So now we have if for. The next phrase, we have a dative article, genitive article, genitive numerical, and dative noun. So the dative article and the dative noun go together. The transgression. And in between the two, we have a genitive case, the of the one. The to henos phrase is in what is called the attributive position. Because we're splitting the article from its noun and putting something in between that describes the attributes or characteristics of this noun. Now, you can come across in the New Testament, you can come across at this point a dative article, and you can have several lines of words and have paraptomity at the end. That means everything from the definite article over in between this and its noun is attributive. And sometimes you can have paragraphs that are attributive to each other. That's for another time. But just so you know that these are attributes and characteristics, and you can see why Paul would go out of his way. He wants to mention the transgression, but it is the transgression of the one. There's only one transgression that is like Adam's. One. And that's the one that Adam committed. So we break our phrase apart, definite article, and this definite article is going to modify henos, paraptomy, and this is the way it looks. The article going down to paraptomity, but from paraptomity going up to henos with to its modifier because it's the genitive case. It is the transgression of the one. So the genitive case dictates that we draw the line up to show whose transgression it is. After this, and notice it just hangs there because that's all I can do with it. I don't have any way, I have nothing to attach that to. Ho thanatos, there's my nominative case subject. So that gives me hope. And we can see that ho modifies thanatos. Ho is the definite article. We have next the verb. Ebasilusen. So now we're going to put our verb over and we can start making connection. But we have to be careful. Remember, A is our connecting clause up here, our conditional clause. This is not the main verb because it's if the death ruled by the transgression of the one. So this is all a conditional clause saying if this is true, and we know that when A is used with the indicative, here's your aorist indicative of basileuo, it's translated since. Since. First class condition assumed to be true. Since death ruled by the transgression of the one, we have a prepositional phrase coming down. Dia henos is your preposition. Here's your preposition. The object of your preposition is henos. To the article modifies henos. So this is how it's diagrammed. Through the death ruled through the one. So it's the transgression of the one and through the one, showing the channel and by means of which the death ruled. Now look what we have next. Polomalon. This phrase is another phrase to tell us that this is a comparison. That if death ruled through one by the one man's transgression, then polomalon much more. Malon being a comparative adverb. Polo is an adjective, but it can also be used as an adverb modifying a comparative adverb. And that's what we have here. Much more, showing in comparison, one is much more than the other. We don't have the completion of this yet. Hoi is your nominative plural, so that's got to be our subject somewhere down the line. So We keep that there. Tain periseion is accusative case, so there's your direct object. Tain modifying periseion, so we put that off on the side. We still don't have any connectors. We have tase katartos, the genitive case. So it's the abundance of grace here because we can now connect the abundance, and the phrase right after it is genitive of the grace, the abundance of the grace. We have a chi, a connecting conjunction, and we have another genitive case, the gift. So it is the abundance of the grace and of the gift. So you can have one word like abundance, and you can use that abundance to describe two things which are actually the same. Of the grace is your cause, and the gift is the effect. So we have, see, we have this clause. We're developing this clause, obviously the direct object, and describing for us the abundance of what. And then we have another genitive describing the gift. It is the gift of righteousness. And here you have a point, a specified designation of what the gift is. Charisma, remember, was the cause, the motive behind the giving. And the gift itself, in this case, is the gift of righteousness. And so these genitives work off of each other. But now we have lambanontes, a present participle. So we're through with this phrase. And that we find that that present participle is nominative. And we find that the nominative plural subject, hoi, matches it. And so again, we have a participle describing these people, the ones receiving. Receiving what? Then we can go up off of our direct object, tain periseion, the abundance of the grace and of the gift of righteousness. The ones receiving, so polomalon, we've got our lines coming down, we're trying to find our main verb. We have hoi, the ones receiving the abundance, and hoi going down to the main verb. We have gar, and remember, it's still trying to find the main verb, so it's going down. As I told you last week, it's like I see these things as these arrows at the bottom is like drilling for oil. The connecting conjunction's looking for the verb all through the sentence. So we have hoi. We have much more, the ones receiving. And you have to understand that this clause describes these people. These people are the ones receiving the abundance of the grace and of the gift of righteousness. That's a description. Hoi now goes down to looking for its main verb. Next, we have a prepositional phrase, in life. And right after that, we have our main verb. For they are ruling or will rule in life through the one, you have your apposition line, who is Jesus Christ. He's Jesu Christu is also in genitive case, and it is apposition through the one. All it says is through the one, Jesus Christ. We know that to be the same person. So we have that comparison. We have the line going up because this is the main verb, and it's going to go all the way up and connect with our conditional phrase. We forgot all about this guy up here because the sentence is so long. So you formulate conditional clause. Okay, here's the conditional clause stretching all the way here. But A, it works off of A. Here's A with the indicative. A is going to connect your verb. But there has to be a main verb that brings this conditional clause into the main section. And so basilisen, basilisi, is your main verb. And from that main verb, way down at the end, you got to work your way back up, and that's how you connect your conditional clause into the main section. And gar has to make its way all the way down to find this main verb that since, and this is another way of showing comparison, since by the one man, death ruled through the one man, much more rather, the ones receiving the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, much more they shall rule in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Through one, through another. He's presenting what has come upon the human race through the one man, Adam, and through the one transgression, and showing, on the other hand, in comparison, the remedy for the situation, the grace and the gift of righteousness that comes through the one man, Jesus Christ. So the Jews understood one man till sin came into the world. But then they were questioning Paul by saying, you're telling us that through one man there's justification. And Paul, in essence, is saying, you should know that concept. Verse 12 starts out, let's rehearse this, okay? How did sin enter into the world? Through one man and through his transgression. And we know that because of what he did, that sin passed upon the whole human race, because up to the law, before the law was even given, they all died. So therefore, they all sinned. But not with the same transgression as Adam. He's the only one that committed that one that caused sin to enter into the world. But yet at the same time, I'm affected by his transgression. So he says, if you can understand that from a theological standpoint, then let me take that concept and bring in alongside of it what I've been trying to tell you about justification through one man. We have the first Adam, we have the second Adam. The first Adam is the sinner and the transgressor. The second Adam is the Savior who brought the remedy for the sin problem so that he can put them side by side and say, in comparison, they're the same. The same way that sin entered in the world, so did the gift of grace and the gift of righteousness through one man. But they're not the same in that you're born into sin automatically, and his emphasis, we'll see as we finish out this section, is, but the gift of grace comes by faith. There's a difference between a natural passing on into the human nature and believing by faith. That's where the comparison breaks down, and we have to have a negative comparison. There's a comparison in which they're the same, and there's a negative comparison in which they are not the same, okay? And as we begin the next section, which will finish out this chapter next time, we'll that's what we're entering into. Now, explaining that to you, that's why verses 12 through 17 are there. It is an explanation about his statements in verse 11 about the one man, which people had objections to. But he says, well, if you have no objections to sin entering in through one man, why would you have objections through justification entering in through one man? They're both the same, but they're not. Okay, let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. It does get technical and confusing at times, but we can also appreciate it that on topics and issues and doctrine that is so very important, you have inspired the writers of Scripture to be extra detailed in their presentation. in order to answer all of the questions that one might have, and to counter and correct and instruct in about certain areas in which people will have theories on. And we know that your word can bring everything to light, bring those things, theories that do not apply and cannot apply because of the exactness of your word. And we thank you for that. And even though a lot of things we might not understand, we can appreciate that the information is there. The Word of God is not some kind of mystical book, but one in which you've chosen the language for to be technical when it needs to be technical, and simple where it needs to be simple. For that, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.